The event horizon had evaporated from the Dimassio's hull, depositing the starship 5 light-days out from Honeck's sun. Its sensor clusters and thermo-dump panels emerged from the hull with the timidity of a hibernating creature venturing out into a spring day. As with all Adamist starships, it took time to check its location and scan local space for stray comets or rock fragments. That crucial time-lapse allowed the tremendous spatial flaws accompanying the opening of the Voidhawk's terminuses to remain undetected. Ignorant of his invisible followers, the Dimassio's captain activated the starship's main fusion drive heading towards the next jump coordinate. "It's moving again," Syrinx said, "preparing to go in-system. Do you want to interdict?" The thought of antimatter being carried into an inhabited system disturbed her. "What's the new destination?" Eileen Karush asked. Syrinx consulted the system's almanac stored in Enone's memory cells. "It looks like Kirchhoff, the outer gas giant." "Any settlements in orbit?" She hadn't quite grasped how to pull information from Enone the way she could from hardware memory cores. "None listed." "It has to be heading for a rendezvous, then. Don't interdict it. Follow it in." "Let it into inhabited system?" "Sure. Look, if it was just the antimatter we wanted, we could have boarded any time in the last 3 months. That's how long we've known the stuff was on board. Dimassio has visited 7 inhabited star systems since we started monitoring it, without threatening any of them. Now my agent confirms the captain has found a buyer with these separatist hotheads, and I want them. This way we can wrap up both supplier and destination. We could even come out of it with the location of the antimatter production station. Commendations all round, so just be patient." "Okay." "Did you catch all that?" Syrinx asked Thetis. "Certainly did, and she's quite right." "I know, but..." She broadcast a complex emotional harmonic of eagerness and frustration. "Bear with it, little sister." Mental laughter. Thetis always knew how to tweak her. Gria had been born before Enone, but there was a marked comparison in size. With a hull diameter of 150 meters, Enone was the largest of all Yassis's children. And it wasn't until puberty's growth hormones came into effect that Thetis outmatched her in physical tussles. But they had always been the closest, always competing against each other. "I've never met anyone more unsuitable for captaincy," Reuben chided. "No composure, all teenage recklessness. That's your fault, young lady. I'm jumping ship when this is over. Bugger what the contract says." She laughed out loud, quickly turning it into a cough for Eileen's benefit. Even though she was used to the degree of honesty which affinity fostered, Reuben always astounded her with his intimate knowledge of her emotional composition. "You don't complain about my other teenage attributes," she shot back, complete with a very graphic image. "Oh, lady, you just wait till we're off duty." "I'll hold you to that." The prospect almost made the tense waiting worthwhile. Because of the need for a more precise trajectory when jumping towards a planet than for an interstellar jump, Dimassio spent a good 50 minutes realigning its course with considerable accuracy. Once its new orbital vector intersected Kirchhoff, the starship reconfigured itself for a jump. "Weapons status check, please," Syrinx demanded when the light from Dimassio's dive flame began to fade. "Combat wasps and proximity defense systems online," Chai replied. "Okay, everybody, alert status 1. We don't know how many hostiles there are going to be around Kirchhoff, so we'll proceed with extreme caution. The Admiral wants this ship interdicted, not destroyed. But if we're outnumbered, we let loose the combat wasps and retreat. Let's just hope this is the nest." She caught an indistinct mental grumble. "It can't possibly be another decoy jump, please." From the tiredness of the tone, she guessed it was Oxley, who was actually older than Reuben, 150. Sinon had recommended him when she was assembling her first crew. He had stayed on mostly out of loyalty to her when she signed on with the Navy. More cause for guilt. Dimassio jumped. Kirchhell was a muddy brown globe 370,000 kilometres below Oenone's hull, attendant moons glimmering dimly in the exhausted sunlight.